Hello guys and welcome back. Today we've been talking about male insecurities about their bodies and sexual performance, and right now we want to talk about factors causing male insecurities. And I think the first one, most obvious, would be cultural preferences. Magnus, what's that all about?
So you have in different cultures, different body types are preferred. Mm-hmm. You know that they signify different things.
Yeah.
So in the Western world, they prefer slim ladies and muscular guys.
Yeah.
While here, traditionally in our part of the world, there's a custom that is prevalent, especially in the South.
Yeah.
Where you have before a lady gets married, she's fattened.
Yes.
You know, she stays in the house for a week or two, and then she's given a lot of food, and then she becomes very robust.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, so she can look very appealing.
Yeah.
You know, for marriage.
And if a lady has been married for a few years and she has not put on some weight, people
exactly will feel that
people
she
are presumed that the husband
is taking care of her. Well. Yeah.
So there is that pressure to eat up and put on some weight.
Yes. But nowadays the trend is changing, because you are looking at ladies, we don't even look at that fattening ceremony anymore, that cultural aspect.
People still do it though.
Well, most times you find ladies who want to be slim. They want to look 16 forever.
Mm.
So they hit the gym. They do every kind of body slimming therapy, you know, so that they look them. So even when they are married,
yeah,
even when they give birth to 2-3 children, they want to look slim. They want to look very zero sized, which is, you know, that is a cultural thing, because it's now a trending matter, you know, the trending thing. So now even being fat is seen as, you know, as being loose.
Yeah.
So you don't know how to control yourself. You can't, you know. So that's the problem with that. So the same thing falls with a man. The Western culture has imposed on us that men should look like Hercules. So you have to look like that. You have to look like him, like Superman, you know.
Yeah.
So that the lady, you can attract the ladies. So you can always have all the ladies you want.
Yeah.
So it puts pressure. In fact, someone actually told me that this is the standard that men should look. The men should look like Superman. That's the standard, you know.
Interesting.
So every guy should hit the gym and, you know, have six packs and have all of those there. Probably leave your beards, you know, grow your beards and make them look very nice. But it doesn't work for everybody.
Well, people don't realize that the Superman character in the movie is portrayed by somebody who does not look like the guy we see in the movie. They have to prime him and groom him and get him to work out, and he has to pass through a lot to attain that body shape that we see. And there's a lot of Photoshop happening there. You know, Superman is the only superhero I know who would get into a fight, break down buildings, pull down trees, get bashed by a train, and his hair stays perfect. Yeah, the hair is made of steel, you know.
And the hair doesn't shake up or loosen up or nothing. It just stays the way it
exactly
is.
Exactly. So we need to realize that's exactly what it is, a movie. It's not real life, and it's a foolhardy imagining that we can replicate all of those stuff. Same with all of the crazy cultural portrayals that we see in the environments where all of these are different cultures, and you know, with globalization, everybody's mixing up, and all the cultures are attacking, and
you're coming with this particular one culture dominating the rest of everyone's culture. So it becomes I don't know if it's called, you call it a problem, but it becomes, you know, people's cultures are not really related to the background, and the one that is more acceptable is favored over the rest. So the definition of beauty shifts over time. There's no standard definition of beauty in our age now would be slim and you know, trim like Superman. Probably in the next age you could be fat, as fat as the Yokozuna,
like it has been in the past, and it will still be in the future. So yeah, that was us talking about cultural preferences and how it influences male insecurities. So let's quickly look at all the other factors.
So you talk about social media.
Yes.
Social media is another one. Earlier on, we spoke about advertisements on television. That is one. Another one is making of movies, movie casting.
Yeah.
You see a lot of our favorite characters, you know. We start from Game of Thrones, you know. You see the characters there. In fact, our favorite one there for the ladies would be Kit Harington, the one played by Jon Snow. So you see his body, his body shape, and like, wow, the kind of man I want. So if your man doesn't look like that, he should go to hell, you know, probably for someone who looks like Kit Harington, which is not No, it's not very, very, it's not very good. So you put pressure on the man, and the man goes to the gym or goes to whatever to ask his friend, you know, he wants to look like this particular guy that everybody's looking at. Or those who are the ladies who like Korean movies, you know, they want guys who look like those guys. And it's the social media also influences, you know, a lot of these things.
Okay, so sorry, were you talking about the media or were you talking about social media?
Maybe that was a mix up. That's the media. Social media would basically be for models who have this natural build and post it on their social media handles. And then you go there, you watch it, and then you are like, wow, this guy, this should be the dream.
Like, sometimes when I have conversations with my friends who are photographers, I don't think they like to be called photographers anymore. I'm not quite sure what, but then they take pictures for a living. And You see the kind of pressure, you know, this, okay, we're doing this for the gram, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to be an Instagram model, because back in the days you had to go get a modeling firm, get a contract and all that, but now you just go and take pictures and all that. So we have fake beach shoots. So where these ladies go find a location and they take pictures, and now these people have to transpose them against the beach. You know, and then I've seen ladies with fat tummies, with pot bellies, come home with pictures where they have abs. So the technologies are actually improving, and these guys are cashing out real big and selling images that do not in any way portray the persons who carry them about. And that's why now it's very important that when you hook up with people on social media, you try as much as possible to see what they actually look like, because some persons appear to be fair or tall or female or male or whatever on social media, but in real life they look nothing like all you have seen.
It's like the famous stories used to hear then, when people would meet on social media and then they would look different from when they would meet in real life, when they would look like what they would look like in real life.
I've had a personal experience, you know, not once, not twice, you know. So you run into people, they look some way, and after you have had interactions and you're really interested in all that you're seeing, and you get in touch with the person, and it's a different human being altogether. And sometimes we think it's only the females who are guilty of this, but men are equally as guilty,
because they are pressured into it. They feel they should look a particular way to be attractive, to get the ladies that they want.
In fact, there was this very crazy unrelated story, but I'll tell it anyway. So someday I got a text on my WhatsApp, and it was a friend, and the text said, "Behold, I am Jesus Christ, and I am coming again." And I responded immediately, and I said, "My friend, you are John, you are not Jesus Christ, and you're not going anywhere." And it was like, "Ah, bro, sabar now." That was like what I got. I was just sharing, and I said, "Don't share stuff like that. Jesus is not on WhatsApp, and he doesn't send WhatsApp messages." You know, so a lot of times we find ourselves trying to forward, share, post, copy, paste, and we just kind of forget eventually who we really are and what we should be like. So you have all these guys with blue eyes. In fact, there was a fun thing that happened very recently. So I was talking with a friend, and we're talking about someone else that we knew, and I was like, "Man, oh God, that guy is so cute, da 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 da." And the lady was like, "You mean that guy? I beg you. That guy is not cute." I was like, "What do you mean?" "So he's very short." So I'm like, I couldn't have seen that coming. Like, he looks big and imposing in all the pictures, you know, with the red lips and, you know, beautiful, very beautiful guy and all that. And she's like, "No, in real life, he doesn't look that good. You know, he's just short, he's annoying, he's all over the place, and he's not impressive at all." So I have nothing against people trying to look their best and find acceptance in the society, but at least can we be a little bit honest? I think that's the minimal I can ask for. Can we be kind of honest about who we are? We understand insecurities exist, and sometimes we feel the pressure to at least pretend they are not there. Because let's talk about sexual performance. If a guy is bad in bed, pretending you're good is not going to take the problem away.
It's not.
You know, so the only way to learn how to perform better is by learning how to perform better. You there are no shortcuts to this. It may be long, it may be stressful, it may mean coming clean and finding someone you can confide in and say, "See, I'm having issues with this," and then they can help you out if you can be helped. does.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could come out to the your partner, and the partner could tell you what she likes, you know, how you could do it better. It might not be something simple. I'm not saying it's a very simple thing, but
you might need to sacrifice part of your ego.
That would be it, just to, you know, get what you want.
Because if someone tells you that, man, you just have to penetrate this woman and dig for 30 minutes to show that you're a real man, you know.
I mean, those are digging in pain. I mean, you are getting pain. The woman is getting pain, and at the end of 30 minutes,
and somehow you are not built to dig for 30 minutes. You might be built to dig for 30 seconds, and that's it, bros. No, go kill yourself, oh.
Remember, it's not even about the length of time. It's about even giving that. So people only dig for, say, less than 5 minutes, and at the end of that, the woman comes out like, wow.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've heard of a sexual intercourse that lasted 30 seconds, and it was like the most satisfying they ever had. Like the lady orgasmed, the guy obviously orgasmed, because we always do, kind of.
We never stop until we orgasm.
Yeah, I think that's wrong. We should find a way to change that. If the lady don't come, the man should not come, but that's not the topic of discussion today. So, Magnus, what's the way out? How can we help ourselves if we were huddled down with all these insecurities? What's the way out? What can men do differently?
Okay. First of all, let us pay attention to our bodies as men. Get back in touch with your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about waking up and sleeping. You know, look at what your body would naturally respond to. Say, hunger. Say fatigue. When are you tired? When do you need to sleep? No, it begins from there. No, a body that is imperfect in optimum working capacity would be, you know, would do anything that you want it to do.
Yeah.
Know, within its capacity anyway, not beyond that. So be attentive to your body, listen to your body, then appreciate your body the way it is.
Yeah.
Because there's no other body you have. The body you have is yours. And that is enough for you. You should know that. That body you have is enough for you. Don't let anybody make you think otherwise. So appreciate that body that you have. You know, appreciate it a lot. Then accept it for what it is. If you're a mesomorph, if you're ectomorph, you are endomorph, it doesn't matter. If you to be able to have a wonderful, satisfying romantic relationship, doesn't they depend on your body shape or the size of your penis? It is all about you as a person, your individual. It's even more than just, you know, having sex. It's more than just having sex. It is your personality, what you are bringing to the table. So I think would be a solution to a lot of all these insecurities.
So guys, you've heard it, and interact with us. Let us know what you thought about all this. Send your comments in, and yeah, your body is yours, and that's the only one you have. It's only in movies people switch bodies.
Exactly, people enter different bodies, you know. But I would also suggest that you might disagree with all of these things we've said, you know. So we'd like to hear what you think about male insecurities and what prompts them, and if they are good. Some people feel that they are good, those things should drive a man to be better, should drive a man to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to hear what you think, but this is what we think about male insecurities.
Yeah, so if it's your first time on this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and go check out all of the other episodes that we have. We've talked about all of the very interesting topics and controversial topics about sex. Thank you for spending all this time with us, and we hope you found this episode as enjoyable as all of the others. So do not forget to leave us comments, and thank you for listening, and let's hope we can catch up in future episodes where we shall talk some more about other similar topics. Magnus, it's great to have you back in the studio.
I am so blessed to be here.
Yeah, please don't ghost. Yeah, don't go a wall on us.
No, I won't be leaving for a very long time.
Yeah, great. So, all right, enjoy the rest of your day, and don't forget to play safe. Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Play Safe Club podcast, and today I want to talk about male insecurities about their bodies and sexual performance. So if you've been close to any guys or you're a guy yourself, you would understand exactly what I mean, because you know that feeling of manliness and being able to bring that ultimate satisfaction to your partner, and the fear that you just might never be able to perform at every given point in time. And so today we want to look at what this is, we'll look at all of the factors that contribute to it, and hopefully find a way out. So with me in the studio is Magnus, my co-host. Magnus, what's up?
I'm good.
Yeah,
very well.
Yeah, we missed you for a bit. You disappeared, you know, but we're glad you're back. Lost and found.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
The son of mine was lost.
No, I wasn't lost. I knew my way.
Yeah. So let's dive right into the topic of the day. So male insecurities, what are they all about?
Okay, it comes first of all with the male psychology. Mm. And the male psychology has to realize a lot on ego. Relies a lot on, but it has a way their mind works.
Yeah,
whether male or female, uh-huh. And the male is ruled, you know, sometimes driven by a lot of times, not sometimes, driven by ego, mm-hmm. And some of these things would also impact on the way they see themselves, you know, in comparison with other people.
Yeah.
So when they feel that they are failing, or they feel that they are not creating the kind of impression they would want to on their partners, then they might begin to feel some form of emptiness or some form of dissatisfaction, you know, about themselves. So
okay, so
I think that's where it stems from.
Yeah, so we hear people talk about ego all the time. Every time people talk about men, it's always ego, you know, men and their ego. So a very simple question for you, Magnus, is that a bad thing?
It isn't at all, because that is the way they are made, and if directed in the proper way,
you mean that's the way we are made,
that's the way we are wired.
Thank you.
So if directed in the proper way, then we would there will be amazing results.
Absolutely.
Because that ego is there to drive, to push, to break things, and yeah, to make headway.
Yes.
But if it is directed in the wrong direction, or if it is molded, you know, depending on the upbringing of the man, if it is molded, you know, differently or wrongly, then you would have a lot of wrong consequences, you know, bad consequences rather. So everything, the man is created, you know, with ego. That's the way he was made.
Okay, so let's talk about the ego and sexual performance. Because it would seem that men have set a certain standard of what the ideal manly sexual performance should be like. You know, a man is supposed to last this long, a man is supposed to be this big, a man is supposed to produce this effect. You know, you should drive your woman to a good, ripe, sweet orgasm and have her cringing and, you know, begging for more. That's kind of the perception that a lot of us have when we think of having sex. Nobody thinks of, you know, having a premature ejaculation or maybe completing the task and the lady is disappointed with it. I think that's like the greatest nightmare most men would never want to have, you know, completing the sexual act and realizing that you have done little or no work and the lady is utterly dismayed, dissatisfied, and not willing to have a repeat of that event, you know. So what are some of the key things that drive sexual performance anxiety?
Well, it all boils down to, first of all, the man wants the woman to look up to him.
Yes.
He wants to be, you know, he wants to be the figurehead. He wants all attention, not all attention basically, but he wants his woman to look at him and say, yes, that's my man.
That's the man.
So so if he feels he's lacking, you know, and you know, sex is a very, very important aspect of a relationship, a romantic relationship is very, very important.
Yeah.
So when he feels he's failing in that regard, then a lot of things can go wrong. So what could drive such anxieties would be his performance in bed. How long does he last in bed, you know, and if he actually satisfies the woman. No, basically, if the woman, after doing maybe grab for 15 minutes, and the woman's like, I better leave my body, Jerry. What's in with this one?
Now,
food, they found. And he, you know, he will feel very, 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 very sad. So it could cause anxiety. Another one would be the way he perceives his body.
Yeah.
You know, there's a way men are supposed to be seen. Mm. You know, the way the men should look.
Beard,
you know,
gang, six pack,
exactly.
Hard nipple.
All those things. But when the man doesn't, you know, doesn't see his way, his body, the way his other men, you know, look.
Yeah.
There could anxiety would begin. You know. Mm. Then his past relationships and exes.
Oh yeah.
Could also, you know, what they have told him in the past. You know, see you, yeah, man. You know, see ICB, you know, fit. All of those things would come up from time to time. So you see. Some men, they will tell you they're not into relationships. They want to, every human being longs for love.
I've actually come across somebody who was being violent in his relationship, and when I asked him why, he said, man, he had bad experience in his past relationships where he tried to be really nice and this lady is putting him in a very difficult situation. So when he broke up with them, going to the next relationship, he wanted to show them that, see, I'm the boss here, I'm the man.
Yeah, that's also, you know, that's also a scenario that could play out, you know, from all of these things. Also, you'd find out that someone who was accused of not, or someone whose ex told him he couldn't perform well in bed, probably start taking drugs, you know,
in the next
relationship.
40 seconds, man.
Exactly. We'll start taking drugs in the next relationship.
You know the story I'm talking about, right?
Not exactly, but I think I understand the ramifications of that story.
Yeah, well, it was actually a very famous story out there. I'm not making this up. That was Tonto Dike and her ex-husband.
Oh.
And so after they broke up and all the accusations and counter-accusations, Tonto gave this interview where she said, that guy lasts less than 30 seconds in bed. You know, he's like a 20-second man. Sometimes 2 seconds, 5 seconds. And she said the most he's lasted was like 40 seconds or something. I'm not quite sure what the numbers are, but
she was even counting.
Yeah, she was. She had a timer all the time, and once the guy was coming, like, okay, yeah, okay, 30 seconds. We broke our record. All right, please go ahead.
So you find that all of these things in the next relationship, now the man would, you know, want to play things differently so that he could assert his authority or his ego, mm-hmm. as a man. The next thing could be the size of his penis.
Yeah, that matters. So, and we talked about that in a previous episode where we wanted to know if penile size matters.
I think that was that was really trashed in that. So I wouldn't want to go into that in that part.
But say a thing or two.
The size of the penis doesn't matter in sex. Mm. Basically, it's about your skills. You know,
you don't need to have an ikenga on your waist.
You don't need to have a.
You don't need a big cassava.
You don't need a yam.
No long thing.
You can be as small as a carrot or even pepper. Mm. No problem. Just make sure you know how to do it. You know.
So all the womb shifter guns.
No, that it doesn't work. You don't have to shift the womb or shift the heart or shift the lungs. You don't have to do all the stomach. You don't have to do any of those things.
Oh yeah.
It's the way you make the woman feel at the end of it. That's just what's most important.
All right.
And the next thing is external factors which support these insecurities. So in as much as this man feels these things himself, then you know the perception he gets from the outside would also trigger to a higher level all of these things, all of these anxieties. So these are the things that would cause a man to feel insecure about himself.
So do you want to give an example or two of these external factors?
His friends.
Oh yeah.
His friends who tell him, "You are not a. Do you know? They might not even tell him. Yeah. Probably they're sitting down together drinking beer, and they'll tell you, do you know that last week I was having, you know, sex with two ladies every day. And then the man looks at himself and like, I've not even had any action in the past 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and like, oh boy, what do you need to take? He goes, now I will show you the secret very soon. Yeah. And then the guy begins to feel that without that particular thing, which is going to be told, mm-hmm. he wouldn't be able to perform very well. So mm-hmm. that in a way brings some form of anxiety. Or you know, the media is another very wonderful tool, you know. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of advertisements on, you know, underwears, or a lot of advertisements anyway featuring men, maybe soap advertisements or any kind of thing, and you see the men there, they look like, you know, they were created on Sunday, very you know. everything is perfect, everything is there, everything that would attract a woman, and so he feels that should be the ideal man, and then he decides to probably go hit the gym and probably does it to a very high degree and breaks some bones.
And you know, sometimes people fail to understand that people sometimes look the way they appear in adverts because that's how they are naturally. You know, for example, if a sex and soap company wanted to advertise their products, and they would ordinarily use very beautiful girls, And then what that puts in the mind of the consumers and people who watch this advert is that if you use the soap, you're going to have beautiful skin, you're going to be beautiful like this, you're going to be fair, you're going to have a good figure, every man will be attracted to you. Because then when this lady uses the soap and then steps out in the street, all the guys are tripping over themselves, you know, everything is falling in place for her just because she used one soap that is worth, I don't know, maybe 200, 300, 500, even 1,000 naira. But the thing is, if you were one, no soap can help you, you know. Same with the builds. There are people who have the figure, they have the shape, it's in their DNA. And if you've not inherited that body build, say you're an endomorph, you're not a mesomorph. Huh? Sorry, if you're not conversant with this, I think you probably learned this in secondary school. There are different body types. There are endomorphs, people who are predisposed to be fat. They're going to be plus size.
No, even if they drink water.
No matter what they do.
They eat only biscuit all day.
It's in their gene. They're going to be round. Then you have ectomorphs. These people are tiny, like a broomstick.
No matter what they eat.
No matter what they eat, they're just going to be tiny. You know, Atinga. And then you're going to have mesomorphs. These people have that build, you know, solid build, six-pack, flat tummy, you know, chest pumping. Everything is looking good. And they don't have to work out to look that way. So someone who's a mesomorph would go to the gym with very little activity. A walk here, a run there, you know, table tennis, whatever they play would go on to emphasize that figure. But if you're an endomorph, you may need to work out a lot more. You may need to invest maybe an hour, 2 hours every day with meal cuts, you know, what do you call that? Portion control and all sorts of things to get yourself in shape. If you're an ectomorph, just forget it. You know, you go gym. In fact, if you even wound, you might get yourself injured trying to build up those muscles because you don't have them. You're not predisposed to have them. So sometimes we're looking at some of these externalities and we don't realize that people are wired that way. You know, again, you know, look at the size of the penis. Some people, you know, genetically they have very large penises. They may not even know how to use it.
Yes,
but they just have it. They don't know why they have it, you know. So they just, in fact, they didn't even know it was big until someone else said, "Oh my god, bros, what is this? Jeez, you're endowed." And it's like, "Oh, okay, is it big?" Because for him, it's like...
It's normal because he grew up like that. Speak, yeah.
So, it's going to take him standing side by side with other men and he's like, okay, this is actually big. Like, mm-hmm. It's bigger than the normal. Oh, these guys have tiny things.
And then when he begins to hear just like, oh, I like big things. I like big things. Yeah. I like big penis. And he feels that he's favored. Yeah. Or he's in the better position because he has a big penis.
I'm the
penis.
Big man here.
But that is, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. So if you missed the episode on penile sizes and if they matter in sex, go check that out and you know, catch up on all the other episodes we have here on this podcast. This would be a good time to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to look at all of the factors that cause male insecurities and the way out. So stay tuned.